Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Sonny Ship. Sonny, how are you doing today?
Good. What's happening, my man?
Well, you know, not much. Had a trip up to Shreveport for the weekend with some friends for a bachelor party. I don't get too crazy.
How many got arrested?
not enough. Not enough, you know. You gotta go crazy. But it was good fun. So I was on the golf course when one of my friends called me and said, "Did you hear the news?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "Will Wade just got fired." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So we were on like the 11th hole. I was like, "All right, we might need to speed this up a little bit here."
Yeah,
Might have to go.
But, fortunately, we were in between soccer, and so I was actually just sitting on the couch. I was like, "Oh man, damn. Well, I guess I better get the laptop back out."
Yeah. So very.
Not expecting that on a Saturday afternoon. That's for sure.
But obviously, President Tate and Scott Woodward decided to act. On Saturday afternoon, LSU lost in the SEC tournament on Friday afternoon to Arkansas, which kind of had a dead day on Saturday. And then on Sunday was obviously the selection day. But let's start with Will Wade, because there was the notice of allegations last week. And so everybody was on the same page as far as like what the situation was. It was just, would LSU decide to end it? Would LSU decide to, you know, act on it, even though there wasn't anything as far as new, really substance on Wade? But it felt like, to me, reading the letter that they put out to, they say the LSU community, they used the word exhausted twice. And that's just kind of what I think it felt like at the end of the day between Tate and Woodward. They were just kind of tired of it, right? I mean, Woodward's not the guy that hired him. They were kind of just tired of having to put up with this. And so that's kind of what I got from it, just reading their letter. And obviously there is a good amount of evidence, but there's still an investigation going on. It's not like it's done at this point. So they're still gonna have to put up with it. But I think, you know, firing Wade and firing Bill Armstrong, his associate head coach, at least in their minds, puts an end to, you know, most of the dark cloud that's kind of hanging over the program right now.
Yeah, I think it was, I think it was only a matter of time. And look, I don't think anyone didn't think that LSU was going to ultimately reach this day. You know, when it, you know, you start with the strong ass offer, wiretape, and just wiretaps, and just, you know, you go on down the list, you bring up a good fact, the point that Will Wade was not a Scott Woodward hire. And, you know, now this just kind of completes it to where now Scott Woodward's going to have all of his people in. I don't think that Scott Woodward was looking for a reason to, you know, that when he came in, that it was one of those situations where I'm going to get my guy in and that's just how it's going to be. But I think it's just a culmination of just the negativity, the stories of being in the news. And, you know, when you put that on top of some of the allegations, they kind of just make it look like Will Wade was basically, you know, Will Wade basically said, "Hey, I know you're looking at me for this, but I'm not worried about it." And just, you know, that it was almost like a just, you know, propping your middle finger up at the NCAA. So, you know, to be at this point is not a surprise. The timing of this actually happening, I think, probably caught a few by surprise. But this is LSU saying, you know, you provided us with this NOA. We're not acknowledging anything in this, but we are acknowledging that there's enough evidence for us to, you know, to get rid of the people who, you know, who have been alleged to be, I guess you could say, the wrong, you know, the guys who committed the most wrong acts. And so, you know, what this means for LSU in the NCAA tournament now, do you have a group of guys who are going to go out now and try to, you know, try to prove the world wrong and win one for their old coach? They love Will Wade. I mean, the only reason that Will Wade, you know, the allegations are not the only reason that Will Wade recruited well. Will Wade's a young guy. He relates well to the kids. He's a player's coach. You know, the players love him. The players love playing for him. So, you know, how do they respond to this going forward? I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And can they get on a little bit of a run here, or do they just fold up shop on Friday against Iowa State?
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's one or the other, right? Because last time in 2019 when he was suspended, they went on a Sweet 16 run. There were five level one levels of misconduct. And that allowed them to fire him with cause. And I think that's an important note in this as well. And you kind of bring it up, but now, you know, when we look at this team moving forward, before we even get into the offseason, which is going to be chaos in itself, when looking at this team, it's like, okay, on paper, you get Iowa State in the first round and you kind of can go from there with Wisconsin potentially afterwards. But which team are we getting here? A team that doesn't have its top two coaches, or a team that is going to just kind of bring itself together behind Darius Days and Xavier Pinson and all those guys? Because I think you bring up a good point in that Adam Miller was putting out tweets saying how heartbroken he was. Like, this team was, like you said, he's a good recruiter for multiple reasons, and he's a good coach for multiple reasons. It's because the team liked him in a lot of ways. And so I do think there is going to be a little bit to that, because last time in 2019, while I brought that up, that was kind of a, you know, it was temporary. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't fired in 2019. He was suspended. And that felt like it didn't have the serious implications that this has. Now you could have players like, oh man, where am I going to play next year? You know, like, what am I going to do next year? And that's a different animal in itself. So I don't know how I'm going to approach the tournament. But I do think it's interesting. And they got the notice of allegations, and then it took them probably, what, 5 days? Roughly 4 days, 5 days to come to this decision. And I feel like I could just read how tired of this Scott Woodward was. Like, he gets here, he's hired multiple coaches at this point, but he still has this Will Wade cloud hanging over them. And not for nothing, they went 9-9 in conference this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't, Bruce Pearl's over there winning the conference. Like, they didn't go 14-4. They're 9-9. You have plenty of reason to say that. You have plenty of arrows to be like, oh, well, was he even that good of a coach? Like, you could say that if you wanted to. So
yeah,
there's just plenty of factors here when we look forward.
Yeah, I'm going to take a different approach with you. I think with Scott Woodward and William Tate, I think that once they got the NOA, the official NOA, and before they even had a chance to look at it, I think they had already made the decision that Will Wade was gone. You know, I think it was just a matter of lining things up. You know, okay, we've got to receive the NOA before we can fire him with calls. And then just the way the timing of it worked out, you know, they weren't going to fire him before the Arkansas game. You're not going to fire him before, you know, they're not going to pull him home from Nashville. You know, so you just let him coach out the SEC tournament. Once that's over, everybody gets back home. It's like, all right, here's your papers. See you. We're done. Time to start moving on. And, you know, chaos is coming to the LSU basketball program. Yes. There's no question about that. You know, players are going to leave. Tari Eason, you know, if he had any thought of coming back for next year, which I don't think he did, he's gone. You talked about Adam Miller. You mentioned Brandon Murray, Justice Williams, Efton Reed. You go down the list of all these guys. You've got the guys who are still committed. You know, I mean, chaos is coming. It's just a matter of whether or not this team can shield itself from all the outside chaos and cause a little chaos itself in the tournament. You know, win that Iowa State game, then you come up, you got Wisconsin in that next game if Wisconsin wins, and then you know, on the back end of that bracket, you got an Auburn team that beat LSU very badly. So you have some storylines that could kind of line up that could, you know, that could give this team not a Cinderella feel, because this is not a Cinderella team. This is a team that a lot of people looked at and said, you know, this is a potential Sweet 16 right here. But you could have a Cinderella story in the sense of, you know, this is all these guys have left to play for each other, because after this, everybody knows they're going their separate ways. After this, we don't have the coach who brought us here. After this, there's going to be, in all likelihood, there's going to be a postseason ban. It's going to be several years before LSU is back playing in the NCAA tournament. So, hey, let's go out there. Let's cause some chaos and, you know, let's go do this for our head coach.
Yeah. Real quick, just to look at the bracket. Here's, let's see if I can zoom in anymore. I think it's good size as it is. But yeah, to look at this bottom half, you mentioned it, Iowa State first, then you got the winner of Wisconsin and Colgate. I do, in my opinion, Wisconsin's probably the worst three seed. And then after that, if you get past that, you would potentially play Auburn. You would assume so. USC and Miami are good teams, but but Auburn has struggled the past month, right? Auburn lost Texas A&M. Auburn has been inconsistent for like the past month. I follow their writer from 24/7, and it's like he's really worried about them at this point. But I'm not saying LSU is going to beat them, but they could lose to USC or Miami or, you know, Wisconsin or LSU. Like, making out of this group is not a given for Auburn at this point. I think that could, like you said, if LSU gets hot and if their mindset is in the right place, because that's been the whole thing with this team, right? Sometimes they'll be lax. Sometimes the offense will be slow and with no urgency. If they have that level of urgency, there is a window here to get to the second weekend, and even maybe, you know, into the Elite Eight if everything went right.
Yeah, starting with Auburn, this is not the same Auburn team that beat up on LSU pretty good. And you're also not playing them inside Auburn Arena. That was just an absolutely crazy atmosphere, one of the top college basketball atmospheres, you know, that I saw this season. So, you know, take Auburn, you know, just – it's not the same Auburn team. You look over at Wisconsin, I'm with you. I think that if LSU comes out and if LSU has that us against the world mentality, let's go do this for our coach. And I think you'll find out in the first 5 minutes whether or not LSU has that approach and has that mindset. But if they come out and if they do and if they beat Iowa State, I think that they have a very good chance against Wisconsin to get to that Sweet 16. And then once you get to that Sweet 16, you know, on the other side of that bracket, you know, you do have a number one seed, Kansas, on the other side. And, you know, so it's going to be a lot of fun just seeing, you know, one, which LSU team comes out. Because if the right LSU team comes out, it could really be a lot of fun over these next, you know, next two, maybe even 3 weeks. If, you know, a flat LSU team comes out who's already looking at where they're going to head up, where they're going to end up next year and things like that, then it's not going to be a very fun tournament from the LSU perspective. So just hope that you do a good job of filling out your brackets if that's the case, and you have that interest to stick around. Which, by the way, make sure you check out those CBSSports.com brackets, because they're giving they're giving away like a truck. We're even going to be able to do our own site specific brackets for the Go 24/7. VIP sites user. So it's going to be a lot of fun that, you know, it's only going to be more fun if you can have LSU sticking around, because like I said, it's probably going to be several March Madness coming up where LSU's not going to be a part of it.
Yeah, it could be trouble for sure. And I'm planning on putting a hot board, coaching hot board out, big board out tomorrow morning with 10 names or so. And I think that'll be interesting just to see how Woodward approaches it. Because if you look at it, this isn't going to be as straightforward as these other ones, right? Mulkey,
right?
Pretty straightforward. Baylor, her and her were on different levels, different, looking at different things. She wanted to come home. Boom. Baseball is an established program. Moving on, bringing a big hire. Football is an established program. Back-to-back struggling seasons, bringing a big hire. The basketball program is not established at that level, right? Will Wade has brought, I mean, it's been the biggest, most success since like Shaq almost. I mean, there was a run early 2000s, but still, you get the point. So you can't go and get like Scott Drew from Baylor, right? You can't just go get a huge fish. I'm sure he'll try to get the most established guy he can, but that's what makes this interesting to me. Is it, I think it's more open than what, you know, maybe we even think. So, and not for nothing, like you said, if there are sanctions, scholarship-wise and postseason-wise, really established coaches are not going to want to put up with that for a year or 2 years or maybe even three. Like, there's just so many questions. I feel like this is Woodward's most difficult hire by a long, long shot. Obviously, football is the most important, but, you know, this is difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you, you know, and I think kind of spilling over to that, into that, when you mentioned your hot board, you know, it's hard to put a hot board together right now for those specific reasons. Yep. You know, you can put a hot board together of guys who I think would be a good fit. But, you know, that's really all it is right now, because Scott Woodward doesn't know what he has to work with. You know, let's take the, you know, let's just take the sanctions and just look at it kind of in the big picture thing, big picture to kind of begin with. You are going to have to have something that overcomes that dark cloud. OK, and what can help overcome that dark cloud? Money.
Yes.
So we know Scott Woodward is not afraid to throw money around, but in the same sense, you know, you're not going to go get you're not going to go get somebody out of Kansas, out of Kentucky, out of Arizona, out of North Carolina, you know, one of the blue bloods like you did in football with Notre Dame, even like you did with baseball. You pull into a guy who had just come from the College World Series. You're getting Kim Mulkey, who's won women's national championships. I think Scott Woodward's probably going to have to take the approach of saying, okay, I need to go find that mid-major guy who is fine with having another 2 or 3 years, knowing the situation that he could walk into. He could walk into a situation where Will Wade showed that the fan base will support you. You can recruit well, even though, you know, yes, everybody, the punchline is going to be, yeah, but he paid players. You know, someone can still come in, they can recruit well, because the fan base and the community are going to get behind them and they're going to show their support. You make some improvements to the PMAC over the next 2 to 3 years, and you can make LSU an attractive destination. Now, how do you get someone to where they're not worried about making the tournament for the next 2 to 3 years? Money. You got to pay them. You got to pay him to be totally cool with going into it. You know, coaches go into this like, man, you know, I want to be playing in March. I want to be playing. I want to go dance and I want to play in a tournament. Well, you now got to go out. You got to get somebody who's like, yeah, man, I'm going to go chill in St. Lucia in March and just, you know, tune in on TV. You know, that's hard to find. That's hard to get someone to have that mindset of being okay with that. Because we all want instant gratification, right? Mm-hmm. Coaches do, players do, fans do, everyone does. That's just human nature. That's who we are. So you're going to have to overcome all of that, the allegations you're going to have to overcome with being able to, you know, with knowing you're not going to the tournament, no NIT, nothing like that. No, it's going to be a little bit harder to recruit. You know, because look, in recruiting, I mean, there ain't nobody clean, man. Ain't nobody squeaky clean, okay? No. But even those who do a little bit, who tiptoe over that line, now are going to have to be scared about tiptoeing over that line.
Yeah.
You know, not a major one, not a level one allegation, but just the normal stuff that happens in recruiting.
Yeah.
And so all of those things are stuff that Scott Woodward's going to have to overcome. And the only way he's going to be able to overcome that, in my opinion, is with money.
Yeah.
Because there's no one out there, you know, to my knowledge, Dale Brown doesn't have a grandson out there who's just chomping at the bit to be the head coach at LSU and, you know, who will come here. You know, there's no one in the coaching pipeline, you know, no former players, you know, Randy Livingston, Tasman Mitchell, they may be the closest things to that. So there's no one really that you can look at, you could point to, who would say they really want to be back at LSU. You know, they're willing to come in. They played at LSU. They're willing to be okay and to be that guy who comes in and who rights the ship, who gets that LSU basketball back to where it can be. And, you know, so those are some obstacles that Woodward's going to have to overcome. And like I said, how do you overcome it in today's society? Money.
Yep. Probably have to get a young coach as well. I think that eliminates a lot of the older coaches, because at that point they're just focused on winning.
Right.
You want to try to, I feel like if you're Woodward, try to get the sanctions down to that first year as much as possible, scholarship wise and everything, because it's going to be a rebuilding year regardless. Even if there were no sanctions and you had players leave like this, it's going to be a complete rebuild. So you want to try to get down to 1 year as much as possible. I don't know. I don't think we'll have a choice. I mean, you know, teams try to self-sanction themselves to kind of soften the blow. So we'll see. But The investigation.
But I think you're way past the self-sanctioning part, though. Okay. I think football did a good job of getting ahead of that and of doing so, and of self-sanctioning. Mm-hmm. You know, especially at times like, you know, with the scholar, you know, taking away four scholarships, well, it didn't matter because LSU wasn't close to 85 anyway. You know, so that turned out to where that worked out perfect for them. If the nothing else comes back on that, you talk about the 2-year bowl ban. Well, I mean the 1-year bowl ban. Well, you didn't go to a bowl game in 2020 to win. Hell, nobody, you know, nobody wanted to go to a bowl game. You know, I mean, anybody who had, you know, 11 players on the team could go to a bowl game. And so that wasn't a big issue. So that worked out perfectly for them. Whereas basketball just kind of said, okay, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see. We're waiting to see, waiting to see, waiting to see. Never had the scholarship reduction. You never had that. We're not going to go to the tournament or anything. You know, we'll self-impose. And so it's almost like you just, you know, I think you push it to the point now. It's almost like a, you know, like I equate it to an attorney who's kind of working a case and stuff. You know, it's like, okay, you know, once you get to that point to where you go to trial, it's like, all right, now we're going to trial now. We made it this far. Let's go, you know.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. Will Wade and them were not scared of this, or they were giving off the persona they were not scared of this. So they were never going to take any of the sanctions. It felt like all or nothing, and now it is nothing. So now it's just he's gone.
No, it's something.
No. Yeah, but for him, like, it was all or nothing. It was either he's going all out or he's fired.
Yeah,
like that's what it was. So now he's gone, and now it's, you know, it's gone on Woodward and the next coach to clear it up. So that will be a really interesting aspect of the offseason. And also the investigation has to conclude at some point. I mean, we have to get some sort of, because it's still ongoing. And in Tate and Woodward's letter, they said they were still cooperating and still going through everything. You know, they said the firing was not indicative of like an ultimate decision in the investigation. It was just they were tired of it. So
there's going to be some things, you know. I've been through these before where you're dealing with the NCAA and stuff, especially LSU basketball, unfortunately. But you know, it's going to be a situation to where LSU is going to say, well, you know what, we agree that some of this of Article A might be true, mm-hmm. none of B, none of C, some of D might be true, and they'll go back and forth to stuff. To where what's crazy is that as long as this has been going on, I mean, how long does this go back to? 2018?
Yeah, I was gonna say 18, 4 years roughly. Yeah,
2018. Now you're at a point to where LSU's going to have to issue their responses. You know, not only will LSU have to issue their responses to it, LSU is going to have to conduct their own investigation. So the NCAA is going to have to allow time for that. LSU will conduct their own investigation. And so, I mean, in all reality, you're probably a good year away from knowing where this is, from knowing anything with this. You know, I think football is probably going to be a little bit closer. You know, I think football is going to be a lot closer, really. I think once you get to the, you know, once – I think with the football side, with them kind of self-sanctioning a little bit and imposing, and the NCAA acknowledging that they accepted some responsibility, they tried to make things, you know, better by it saying, hey, you know, we will take these actions right here. We will take these steps. We will punish ourselves in order to not have to wait for you to issue the punishment yourself. And so I think that football, if anything else is put on football, I think it's going to be very minor in nature and not anything in the scope that's going to really set anyone back.
Yeah, no, I think we covered that well. Anything else on the men's side before I just give a quick women's preview?
No, man. No. So what's the early line? And lines usually don't come out until the night before, right?
I think it's out. No, it's out. I told myself I was trying to stay away from lines because I want to just fill out the bracket like clean, not in my head. But I'll look up the
okay, don't let me poison you.
I'm poisoned. It's all right.
Don't take the apple.
They play on Friday, right? Yeah, it is LSU -4.
Okay.
That's about right. I mean, I think they should win. Iowa State has struggled against good defenses this year at times. I mean, they're very inconsistent offensively. So, if like we said, if LSU shows up and defends, like we know they can. They can definitely hold them to under 60. And their offense has been playing better. LSU's offense has in the past month. While the defense has dipped, the offense has been a little bit better in spots, especially against Arkansas that game. Or in the first game, rather. The first game against Arkansas.
You got about 2 minutes, man, before them kids come in and all hell breaks loose.
All right. real quick.
Some women.
The women. Where are we at? Right here, the bottom corner. They got a 3 seed. They dropped down from a 2 to a 3 seed. In my head, they basically just flipped with Texas because Texas was a 3 and LSU was a 2, and then Texas won the Big 12 and LSU lost to Kentucky. So then they just flipped them. So, yeah, we're still going to get that. LSU, Jackson State. Jackson State went undefeated in the SWAC. I think LSU is going to be fine, but still at least a decent opponent, I think. I think they'll keep it within, you know, 20 or 25 or so. Won't be one of those 80-point games you see sometimes in the tournament, I don't think. Yeah, and then you got Ohio State probably in the second round. Ohio State was tied, I believe, or first or second in the Big Ten for their conference. So that'll be an interesting game, both in Baton Rouge, obviously. And I think LSU should be good to get through those two. And Alexis Morris is rehabbing. She's not practicing full speed yet. She's doing individual work right now, so we'll see. They should need her for the first game. That 21st date is where you hope to get Alexis Morris back full speed. And then if they get through those two, you got Texas. And I think I've seen a lot of Texas this year. I do that Texas basketball podcast. On paper, LSU's better with healthy Alexis Morris. If no Alexis Morris, I'm worried, but I think their perimeter defense is good. So it sets up pretty nicely. That Texas game is the one, though, and they're in Stanford's region. Stanford's obviously the favorite to make it to the Final Four, but that's going to be interesting to see. It really comes back on Alexis Morris if she's good, but that's what I'm – and it's at home. They're going to get the PMAC rocking, you know.
I feel like the PMAC's going to be rocking for the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Ohio State's name itself brings a crowd down here. Yeah. You know, you don't play them that big. You know, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, both in Baton Rouge, come on out to those. The men play in Milwaukee on Friday and Sunday, I believe it is. Yeah, Friday and Sunday. And well, Sunday if they win, obviously. Yeah, get through that one first. One at a time. Friday first. The women play on Saturday at 4. The men play on Friday at 6:20. So that's all we got for
us. Will the general be in the crowd? Does the general make it into the crowd?
What if he just like disguises himself? Goes up, like in a hoodie. Just like
why would he have to disguise, man? Why can't he just go in with the hat, dude?
He's gonna show
up. Go in
hat.
Guns a blazing.
Sit in the student section.
Absolutely, right?
Oh, man.
He already lost his job. He ain't coaching for a while anyway.
Him showing up to the women's game would be hilarious.
Dude, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's not going to be coaching for a while. You're right. He's got some time on his hands.
I mean, man. Lord. Him and Coach O going to open up a restaurant or something together.
Right? Man, what a year. What a crazy year. All right, that's all we got for y'all today. March Madness is underway. Again, like Sonny said, we will have some deals or some bracket groups that y'all can join, so be on the lookout for those. We appreciate y'all joining us. You follow us on Twitter at Go247. Go247.com is where you can find our stuff. You can subscribe for $1 for the first month and kind of go from there. But, yeah, we appreciate y'all for joining us, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.